Butler. Outside Martin, back up top Butler. Butler, a three-pointer. Off the side of the rim, Brown the rebound. Should the Heat foul here?
I'm taking a foul. I'm not allowing them to get off a three.
Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds. Murray, step back, three-pointer. Won't go. Fight for the rebound, Martin, and it's over. The Miami Heat have tied the NBA.
Welcome to the Sportscast, June 5th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also an online radio. You can listen to us on the sportscast.net where you get your news and also the latest blogs. Also, go to our Twitter, the Sportscast One. Also, on our Instagram, the Sportscast One, or you could download our app, the Sportscast for iOS. And you saw from the clip, the Heat have tied the series 1-1. The Denver Nuggets couldn't score that three-point shot to tie the game, maybe force it to overtime. And join us all the way from Maine, Hal Phillips, who's enjoying the men's steady win this past weekend. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santi. You know, Maine is a state in the union. I mean, it's not like I'm coming to you from Guam or Iceland. I mean, Maine is a state in the United States.
It is. Maine is the top, right close to Canada, not too far. So, Hal Phillips, yesterday, the Heat beat the Nuggets 111 to 108 against the Denver. The Heat have tied the series up 1-1 to overcome a monster 40.1 point effort from Nikola Jokic to do it. Gabe Vincent had 23 points, Hal. Jimmy and Bam had 21 points each. The Heat did it. No sweep.
Yeah, it was a fascinating game to watch, and it's a fascinating game to pick over in retrospect. So I'm looking forward to doing so with you. It's, you know, midway through that third quarter, it just looked like the game was over and that the Heat had – gamely, I thought, stayed in the game in the first half and looked like it was slipping away from them in the third quarter. Bang, Duncan Robinson scores like 8 points in a minute, and then all of a sudden the Heat are up 10 and cruising. And what felt like a series ender is only the beginning, because we have one. We have a series.
Yeah, we do have a series. The Heat were down as many as 15 points. Down 8 going into the fourth quarter, and those numbers signified that they were going to lose. The Nuggets was 11-0 in these playoffs, Hal, when leading by double digits at any point in the game, and now there are 37-1 this season overall when leading by at least 8 into the fourth quarter. The Heat outscored Denver 17-5 in the first 3 minutes, 17 of the fourth, to take the lead for good. Eventually, they went up by 12 points, but it was an incredible fourth quarter by the Heat.
Yeah, I mean, again, looking the what a crazy quarter. I mean, they were down, I think, 83-75 to start the fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson comes in, makes a drive for two, makes a three, makes an old-fashioned three-point play. Boom, they're right in the game. Then all of a sudden, like you said, they were up 12 points. That's a 27-point swing in the space of about 5-6 minutes. And then you look at the stats and you're like, oh, well, Miami outscored Denver 36-25 in the fourth quarter. That must have done it. No, they would have outscored them by way more. They were cruising with 2.5 minutes left in this game, and only a crazy finish from Denver got them that opportunity to tie the game. It actually, you know, harkened back to a lot of games that the Celtics played against the Heat where they thought they had the game won. Or at least they were ahead far enough, and then they completely shit the bed down the stretch. It actually, the whole Heat Denver series is making me feel a whole lot better about having lost to this team. What an incredible assortment of players and their scheme, and they screw up a little bit, but they also just do so many things right, and they did just enough of them to win the game last night.
Here's a clip from that fourth quarter performance by the Heat.
Take a 2-0 series lead.
This has to be our best quarter defensively.
simply stated, we can't give up open threes. And what's been plaguing us all night, Lisa, is the miscommunication and lack of discipline giving them wide open shots.
He shortened his rotation because he earned sitting on the sideline.
Duncan Robinson drives and finishes.
I am so impressed with the improvement by Duncan Robinson off the dribble.
We've been watching Kyle Lowry do that for 17 years. Robinson fires and hits a three-pointer. Duncan Robinson 3 for 3, all here to start the fourth quarter, and it's a two-point game. Vincent's been the Heat leading scorer. Open three, Gabe Vincent knocks it down. Gabe Vincent is 4th three-pointer, and Miami, they're
Robinson had 10 points, all of them in the fourth quarter. Max Strus had 14 to include with that. And that was a preview of what happened that fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson felt very special weapon-ish by Spoelstra.
It's just an incredible assortment of guys. I mean, we've talked a lot about rosters during these playoffs, Santi. And Denver, and maybe we can come back to this, they only play 8 guys. They only play 8. Christian Braun didn't even play half the games against the Lakers. And, you know, last night we saw what happens when one of those 8 guys, one of their starters, Porter, lays an egg. He had 5 points and 6 rebounds, or 6 and 5, I can't remember. He was worthless. And what do you do when he's not? Bruce Brown finishes the game for him, basically, because Jeff Green couldn't make anything. So that's a very short bench by any standard. I can't think of a finalist that played fewer guys than these 7 or 8 guys for Denver. And their bench doesn't make you go, oh, my God, look who they have on the bench. But look at the players that Miami – they don't just play these guys in the finals. These are guys that Spoelstra picked up for nothing and developed himself. Of course, Duncan Robinson, Haywood Highsmith had 6 points last night, played some valuable minutes. Caleb Martin, who won the series against the Celtics, he was sick last night, but still hit an enormous 3 for them in the fourth quarter. And Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, these guys came out of nowhere and they're playing them all. They're playing them all in the NBA finals, and they're all contributing. It's just an incredible assortment of players. And we already knew that Spoelstra is an incredible X's and O's guy. He's a great coach, but his player development is just crazy. I mean, these guys did not get drafted. They picked up Caleb Martin on waivers. He got dropped by the Hornets, and they do all these things to win. I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but other than this series just feels so different than it did, you know, not just Sunday morning, but Sunday about 10:30 at night, when the middle of third quarter just felt like it was over and we're going to go to Miami. Well, big deal. You look at the stats of this game. It was really a very close game, even though it felt like Miami completely pulled away. And it's not like Denver played bad. They shot 52% from the field.
Jokic had 41 points.
Well, but he was the only one. We'll come back to him. They out-rebounded the Heat, 38-31. They had more steals than the Heat. I mean, they played good defense. Denver did not play badly. They had some bad individual performances, and they nearly came back and tied the game. But the idea that they played as well and lost at home for the first time should tell you something about the Heat. I mean, you don't have to tell me. The Celtics learned it the hard way.
Yeah, let's look at the Heat stats here. Jimmy with 21 points, Bang with 21 points. Gabe Vincent had more points than these two guys with 23 points. Strus, 14 points. Duncan Robinson with 10 points. And, of course, Caleb Martin had 3 points. Cody Zeller had 4 points. Not much going on there. But back to what you say about Spoelstra, this reminds me a lot of Bill Belichick with the Patriots, getting players that are maybe not drafted, I'm not sure, but they put them to positions that can really excel. How could these coaches do these type of things?
Well, I mean, it's an analogy I've heard, this morning from more Celtics fans who are just trying to still understand how we lost to this team. And, you know, if you say, oh, it was Belichick-like, then any New Englander will understand immediately. But, yeah, I think the comparison is apt. It's not so much a system as a confidence that you can take what other people discard and make something useful out of them. And how do you do that? Well, it's not like they sit there and drill them, you know, on specific skills. Just look at the way they adapted in this game specifically. We're having trouble with you know, these matchups on the wing. Murray and Porter both had big games in game one. So let's just give Jokic his 40 points. There were a lot of times when it was him against Gabe Vincent in the paint, you know, trying to front him. They basically did not double him. They gave him the paint. They said, go ahead and score 40. But I think he had three assists. Van Gundy did a good job pointing this out, you know, during the game. They were giving him shots, but not assists. They did not let him distribute out of the half court offense. So that's an adjustment that Spoelstra made. That's good coaching. That's not a system. They've never done that. They don't, you know, have to play against Jokic very often. They came up with that and it worked like a charm, but just barely. I mean, Murray only had 18 points and Porter, their other big offensive weapon, had six. You could say, oh, well, that's why they lost. Well, that's true. But Murray, I thought, had a good first half and hit a couple of big shots in the closing. If he has a normal game, maybe they win that game. But as it happens, both those guys were not their best, and it was enough to win. When I was thinking about this, I thought, well, I thought Murray had a good game. I thought maybe he had 25 points. But no, that's his average. That's what he's averaging in these playoffs. He had 18. That's the difference in the game. But when you give a guy 40 points, he's the MVP of the league, so it's not it's not crazy that you would do that. You put that onus on the rest of the team. And this night, the onus was too much for the Nuggets. They just could not score enough points.
How much does Jokic have to put up for the Nuggets to have a chance?
Well, I don't know that that's the right question. I think that he will score 40 if they do that in game three, like falling off a log, and it's not terrible offense. What probably won't happen is Jamal Murray won't score just 18 points. What probably won't happen is that Porter will, you know, score five. I don't know what he shot as a percentage, but, you know, they didn't shoot badly as a team. But again, you're focusing on eight guys for the Nuggets. And when two of them don't do what you expect them to do, that's a problem. Christian Braun didn't do anything. Jeff Green didn't do anything. Bruce Brown had 11 points, but he finished the game because Porter was just not effective. Aaron Gordon, 12 points, missed a bunch of outside shots. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I'm looking now, 6 points. I think he was 1 for 4 from the field. It was a three-pointer, made some free throws. Also, two boneheaded plays by him guarding the perimeter. Fouled two Heat behind the three-point line as the clock was running down. And I believe they hit all six free throws. Well, there's the difference in the game right there. So, you know, the Nuggets, it's not like the sky is falling and Malone sort of ripped them. It's the first bad game they've played at home. But again, I guess that's just not accurate to say if they played a bad game. They shot 52% from the floor and made up for the fact that two of their starters really were subpar. They nearly won, but we have a series.
First loss for the Nuggets at home in Denver since March 31st. I'm not sure if you remember that day. But he had 48% field goal percentage to 52, as Al mentioned. 3-point shots of 48% to Heat, 39% of the Nuggets. Is it me or the Heat? I mean, not their secret weapon, but one of their strengths is 3-point shots.
Well, it is in the last two rounds of these playoffs. It's been incredible. They were 17 for 35 last night. That, again, another difference in the game. When you're playing a team like the Nuggets, who's, you know, shooting 52% from the floor, you'd better shoot 17 for 35 from 3-point land or else you can't win. But they did. This is not a team that shoots three-pointers with that much regularity. They, you know, the best player, Jimmy Butler, doesn't shoot them at all. Tyler Hero, I think you would argue, was their best three-pointer, their best pure shooter. He's been out the entirety of the playoffs. And these people have just stepped up. That's why we keep talking about, you know, these guys that we've never heard of or these guys who are producing that we have not expected to produce. You know, Strus and Vincent and Robinson have just been lights out. Caleb Martin played, you know, was sick last night, apparently. I didn't realize that, but he was useless. And he and Jimmy Butler was 7 for 19 from the field. So the two best players in the Celtics series both missed tons of shots last night and were not nearly as effective as they could have been. They still won the game because they just plug in a different guy. Kevin Love did not play in game one, if I'm not mistaken.
He did not play game one. He hasn't played in game. He didn't play in game six against the Celtics and also game seven as well. His first start in three games.
and started the game and was very useful. He had 10 rebounds. He had 6 points. He made a couple threes. That may have been, were those his only points? I'm trying to think back, but he played good defense. He actually stepped up and like took the ball to the rack a couple times. Just, you know, good minutes, better than, you know, Cody Zeller minutes.
Yeah.
He had a crazy stint in this game. He came in, I think they told him, I sort of thought back to my days playing junior high school basketball when they would say, Hal, just go in there and start, you know, throwing your weight around, you know. That's what Zeller did. He fouled at people. He took it to the hole. He dropped it about four times. He had an eventful 8 minutes.
Yeah, one of the reasons that I thought why they put Kevin Love back with the starting lineup is just to get like you know, more big guys in the game to get those rebounds and also to defend Jokic.
Yes, but he did not defend Jokic very much. I can't tell whether they played him or started him because Cody Martin was sick. He had apparently had a stomach flu and was not well at all. Was it that, or was it that they needed more help on the boards? Maybe it was both, because they definitely needed somebody playing on the front line. People forget how big the Nuggets are. Aaron Gordon is 6'10". Michael Porter, I think, is at least 6'10". He plays on the perimeter, but he can rebound. Yeah, he's huge. And Jokic is Jokic. So you can't effectively play Bam with Jimmy Butler and Cody Martin as your front line. That's a 6'10 guy and 2 6'7 guys. It's just that doesn't work. You can guard Porter on the perimeter, but you can't rebound when the misses come. So I thought it was smart to play Love. And I always thought that picking him up from Cleveland when they did was really smart, because even with Hero, this is not a big team. The Heat are not just, they're not that big. And, now they have a little more flexibility. They played 10 guys last night. They played 10 guys, and Hero is not playing. That's 11 people that they feel comfortable playing. Denver played 8 guys. 8.
Unbelievable.
I mean, they've got good guys on the roster. Let's just talk quickly. That doesn't show everybody. Reggie Jackson, or is it Reggie Williams? The guy who played for Beat is Reggie Jackson. He's a good player. They picked him up from the Clippers. They don't play him. Who's the fellow who played started the season with LA? Thomas Bryant. Good big man. Played big minutes for the Lakers before the Denver picked him up. He doesn't play for this team. I mean, they've got players, but they've played kind of very, very small rotation. And that's just the way they're prepared to go. I mean, Michael Porter's got a bad back, right? He's sort of famously injury prone.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, what happens when his back spasms come back? Who do they play? They're going to start Jeff Green? Well, then you're down to 7 guys and bring in, you know, Bruce Brown at 6'1" and Christian Braun at 6'6" off the bench. That's it. So Malone knows what he's doing. People were hailing him as the coach of the year and giving him the championship until the middle of the third quarter last night. So, but now this team looks a little vulnerable.
The Heat got their 13th win of these playoffs, breaking a tie with the New York Knicks back in the 1999 for the most ever by a 8th seed. Game 3 is Wednesday. We'll have Hal have his predictions for Game 3, what's going to happen there. Also, there was more than basketball that happened this past weekend. Manchester City won the FA Cup. They're one win away from the treble. They had probably the quickest goal of all times in 13 seconds by Gundogan. Amazing goal. And then Bruno Fernandes tied the game with a penalty. And then Gundogan scored again, and they win the FA Cup.
Pretty good game, I thought. That was a good, crazy goal to start it. It was a competitive game, but I never felt that Man City was not going to win this game. Sort of interesting looking at, you know, Manchester United is loaded. They've got a very talented side, but they've got stars who they're not great every time out. Manchester City's, these guys are just solid every time out. They just don't screw around. And I never felt like Man U was going to win this game. Even when they tied it, I thought the penalty was very, very fortunate and unfortunate for City. What did you think? I mean, it was compelling 90 minutes of football, I thought, but it was nothing special, was it?
Nothing special. It was closer than I thought. How 2-1. Look at that scoreline. Okay, it's pretty close. I thought it might go to penalties at worst, but Manchester control the game, and they have some random people that win these games for them. Like one game, it could be Mahrez. Right. This time is Gundogan. I didn't see much from Erling Haaland. I guess they defended him pretty well. But this Man City is a deep squad compared to the Denver Nuggets, of course.
Yeah, those are apples and oranges. But yeah, I think didn't Mahrez have a hat trick in the semifinal? I mean, he didn't even play here. I just never felt like Man City wasn't going to win this game. And now they're just a win over, you know, Inter Milan, you know, from the treble, and no one is picking Inter. So that'll be an interesting game to watch if, you know, Inter can score. I just didn't feel like Man United really looked like they were ever going to score. There was a sequence, you know, at about 85 minutes when the ball was bouncing around off the crossbar and John Stones was coming in and heading it off the line and tumbling into the corner. That was a crazy sequence, but it was the closest they came to actually scoring a goal from open play. And that's just one instance. It's hard to beat Man City if you don't generate more than that.
Yeah, which, you know, Man United is in talks of trying to get a striker. Harry Kane is in that rumor mill. Of course, he's being rumored now to go to Real Madrid because now the Benzema is going to Saudi Arabia. But what are your thoughts over that?
Geez, if you're a Saudi Arabian you know, soccer fan, it's very good news. There's a lot of guys there, but it's sort of like the MLS, you know, it's sort of like they only get these guys when they're aged, and I'm not sure how good the soccer really is in Saudi Arabia. I don't claim to know the first thing about the quality of play there. I've seen guys, you know, teams that come out of there for the World Club Championship, they're pretty good, but nothing special. Benzema, you know, complicated figure. People seem to forget his off-field tribulations pretty quickly when he plays well, and he plays well a lot. I don't know where Kane's going to go, but I feel like he is going someplace. It'd be a much better fit to go to Manchester United and score for them. That might make the top of the Premiership more interesting.
Also, in other news, Messi's last game with PSG was this past weekend. This morning, there was some pictures taken of his agent, which is his dad, negotiating with Barcelona, a potential destination for him there.
Yeah, people are like, oh, well, that doesn't work. The numbers don't work. Barcelona, of course, is hugely in debt and couldn't play two or three of their stars all year because they spent too much money, and La Liga basically bars you from buying yourself a Galacticos team. You have to do it properly and within the framework. But if you're Messi and you want to finish your career in Barcelona, what's stopping him from taking a tiny contract? He's got enough money. I mean, doesn't he have enough money? So if he really feels strongly about finishing his career at Barcelona, I'm sure they can work it out. Come back and play one more year. I don't really have any great desire to see him come to and play it at Inter Miami. I mean, you're down there. Are people talking about that, Santi?
Yeah, they want him pretty bad down here. Most supporters down here. But of course, you know, can we afford him? There was a rumor from a Spanish newspaper that Inter Miami offered Messi $200 million for 4 years, which is not comparable to what they offer him in the Middle East. I like to have him, but if it doesn't happen, we're not going to be fretting over it either.
You know what I watched this morning on tape because I was watching basketball last night live was the CONCACAF Champions League final. Leon beat LAFC in the second leg in Los Angeles, 1-0. So they won 3-1 on aggregate and really outclassed LAFC. They looked terrible. Didn't generate hardly anything but a bunch of crosses that were cleared off the line. Not a great product either. There was a Leon player on the ground clutching his knee and writhing and pounding the turf about every 7.5 minutes. It was a little tedious, but you know, that's the only thing that really makes that tournament, that competition interesting, is the MLS versus Liga MX aspect to it. And the US MLS won last year through Seattle. Yep. That makes it way more fun. I think the Mexicans care about it a lot more now because they've been beaten. That's how it works. And God love them. And I can't wait for the thing to get going next year. But I was hoping for a little bit better, a better game. I thought, you know, one goal, they only lost 2-1 in Leon, LAFC, but they looked inert. They could not get anything going.
MLS is definitely closing the gap when it comes to the CONCACAF Champions League. So we'll see if we have more teams like Seattle trying to finish it off. I do think there is some hope there. Mm-hmm. Cool. So let's end in predictions. Game three, Nuggets at Heat. 1-1. What's going to happen, Miami? How?
I'm picking Miami. Why not? They did not get a performance from Jimmy Butler. They didn't get one from Caleb Martin. They won anyway. What happens if Jamal Murray goes down? I mean, what does this team do? That they're, you know, the Celtics are the team I know best in this league, and they won a lot of games without Jaylen Brown or Tatum. They have the roster to cover their ass. This team does not. They've lived on very thin ice for the entire playoffs. So, I don't know. I don't know what Mike Malone's going to do. He really does not want to play anybody from his bench, but, we'll see. But I'm picking Miami because I don't think they really leveraged their position with their talented players in the last game. They didn't have what was their leading scorer in this game? They had Gabe Vincent. He had 23 points. I mean,
unheard of.
They can do better. I mean, they Bam had a nice game. He was 21-9. He wasn't dominant. I mean, they can play better than this, and I think they will on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Miami's that sneaky team. I think a lot of these teams that play against them, you know, Nuggets, also Celtics, Knicks, even like the Bucks. Oh, no, we could beat them. You got to watch out for them. Spoelstra has X's and O's.
Yes, he does. But I think we've talked about this before. I think the NBA playoffs are becoming more like the NHL playoffs. There's just less predictability. A team always comes out of the NHL playoffs to make the Stanley Cup Finals from the 7th or 8th position. This year it's the Florida Panthers. What a year for the Florida sports team, Santi. You must be in seventh heaven.
But I can't believe it either.
Yeah, it's incredible. But you know, just the unpredictability of all of these results. You know, the NBA used to be the most predictable playoff postseason there was. The home court advantage was so strong that if you had it, you really had to screw up not to beat a lower seed. And there were three, maybe four teams that could win an NBA championship from year to year. Well, Denver's a top seed, but LA could have won. The Warriors could have won. Everyone was picking the Clippers to get to the finals in the West against one of these teams. They're all out, but there was a breadth of teams and that people considered worthy or at least able to get to the finals, to the conference finals, to the NBA finals. It feels different to me, and it feels like the pandemic and the bubble season, the bubble playoffs especially, were what changed it. I think playing on neutral court for the entire playoffs in 2020 showed the teams and the refs that the home court advantage was too strong and that it's just not that big a deal to go in and win on the road in the NBA anymore. It's still important to win at home. Teams can lose at home and come back and win. But the NBA, you know, is a specific entity, and it's a different entity than it was 4 years ago in this regard.
That is correct. How is definitely a whole different, a lot more parity in the NBA. Who you got tonight? Panthers at Knights, Vegas. They're up 1-0 in the series. Who's going to take game two?
Well, I mean, the Panthers, I mean, I've got to keep rooting for these teams that beat the Bruins and Celtics because it just makes the Bruins and Celtics look better, right, Santi?
Exactly.
I saw some stat. I can't remember what it was, but it said that they referred to the fact that the Panthers played in the NHL finals, the Stanley Cup finals, in 1996. Is that true?
I'm not sure.
I believe they did. And my question was, when were the Florida Panthers even founded?
Around the 93.
How'd they get to a Stanley Cup final? I mean, it's making the point that I referred to earlier. In the NHL is always doing this. They're always sending some obscure 7 or 8 seed to the Stanley Cup finals or a conference final because they get hot. And, you know, I got a hot goaltender. And I like the Panthers tonight. I think that they will they win. They played well in the first game and gave up a late goal or else they would have pulled the goalie and anything could have happened. So I like the Panthers in game two, even though it's in Vegas.
Man City versus Inter Milan in Istanbul, Turkey. What is your final prediction, Hal?
I mean, their whole season has been built around winning that game. The FA Cup and, to a certain extent, the Premier League were just gravy. Everything has been geared around this game. So how can you not pick City? They're flying high, and Inter's not that great.
I would say if Inter takes it to extra time, they might have a better chance.
Well, I mean, get to extra time, you gotta score or not let the other team score, and I just don't see that happening. I think this is as big a mismatch as we've seen in a Champions League final since Valencia played in one. You know, that no one thought they had a chance. That was a while ago, but these, you know, they're obviously a good side, but they're not great. We'll see. I mean, they finished fifth in Serie A?
I believe they have. I got to double check on that stats.
Yeah.
But fifth, I know Inter was not the favorites of Serie A.
No. I think they, I don't even think they're in a Champions League slot for next year. So we'll
unless
see.
They win it this weekend.
Yeah. Unless they win and they get in automatically. So I'm hoping for a good game as a neutral. I don't want it to be a blowout, but geez, it sure feels like it will be one.
Inter Milan was third place in the Serie A this year.
Oh, they were third. Okay. When we went, I'm thinking of AC Milan because they played them in the Champions League semifinal, and one of those teams was fifth or sixth. Oh, thank you. Let me see.
Napoli first, two Lazio, Inter third, Milan fourth, fifth Atalanta, sixth Roma, seventh Juventus. Inter will still make it to the Champions League because they're in their top four slots.
So Milan got into fourth place.
They did. By a squeaker. And Zlatan retired this past weekend as well.
Well, yeah, he just sat around looking disgusted on the bench. I take it all back, people. The lesson here, Santi, is don't rely on Hal Phillips for Serie A standings.
Me either. I don't follow this league as close, even though it's on CBS a little bit more. So, okay. If Pulisic goes to AC Milan, I may look at Serie A more next season.
I think that's fair. You got to pick your battles. You can't watch everything. True. I think this is one of the big challenges for MLS and frankly for the NWSL is there's just so much soccer on now.
It's too competitive.
It's better. It's just better brand of soccer. I mean, why wouldn't you watch it if you like soccer? Why wouldn't you watch Serie A before you? But if you're going to make time for something, you make it for a league like Serie A, and that's where MLS is in a bit of a scrape. But I heard somewhere that Apple is saying, oh well, the subscriptions to the new Apple program have exceeded our expectations. I'm not sure what that means.
I'm not sure what that means either.
But I'd be surprised if it actually did exceed their targets.
Redefine that.
I don't know. It got my attention. It was a good piece of PR because I was like, oh, really? Oh, well, because I mean, I want it to work. I want Apple to make money. I want people to watch MLS more. But man, it's just very difficult.
Very difficult, very challenging. Mm-hmm. Hal Phillips, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you if LeBron should go to Dallas Mavericks?
Are they really talking about that?
I heard Kyrie went to LA to poach him.
I think LeBron's going to retire. But I tweeted Mandarin Hal and my book Generation Zero you can find on Amazon and at BarnesandNoble.com. You can read about all these dynamics we've talked about with the MLS and the coming of age and the incredible breadth of TV product that we have now that would have been unimaginable in 1989 and 90. But that's where they can find me.
There you go, Hal Phillips. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be looking at the NFL NBA playoffs this week. Of course, NHL and so on. Of course, the Champions League this weekend. So sports is coming to a close by mid-June. Not really. There's other stuff going on, of course, like baseball. But anyways, Hal Phillips, a great Monday. Looking forward to Game 3. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Always my pleasure, Santi. Cheers.